صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
My point that I was making was with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanting us to exercise patience. And exercising patience requires foresight, requires a vision. Otherwise it's impossible to be patient. And you will see the entire Quran gives us explanations of who were these people who were patient. And you know, a very important verse in the Quran, you will notice whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says inna allaha ma'a sabirin, you notice that Allah says Allah is with the patient ones. It shows a very powerful verse, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He puts Himself with the patient ones, the implication therefore is that patience is a great attribute to have. So you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get closer to Him through patience. It's the only way to pass the exam. It's the only way. If we don't exercise patience, we will never pass the exam. Many a times you will notice that we make statements which we wish we didn't make a few seconds later. And the reason is because we lack the patience. And when we lack patience, we become very spontaneous. And spontaneity, without thinking and without being cognizant and conscious, is a dangerous state to be. As Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, he says, a wise man thinks before he speaks, but a fool speaks and then thinks. The danger is, of course, once we have spoken, the words become public. This must be something happening out there. It doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah. I see many of you are shifting. Why? What? Imagine the following. Let us say something's happening there. What are we going to do with it? Nothing. I witnessed something. What? Bloodshed? Death? Carnage? You see, that's the difference. The difference between that who is a believer is the one who's calm and collected, and that noise is not distracting him or her. He or she is in thought. Because see, if you're spontaneous and something drops and everybody looks, it's an indication that we're easily distracted. That means our iman is weak. See, salawat ala Muhammad wa See, when people gather together like this in a crowd, this is a passing cloud. Humans get excited with passing clouds. We should be excited knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with these noise and people. There's a state of tranquility for a believer. When the earth is shaking, he says, no problem. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. People are looking, where is it going? You find many children have that tendency. In a classroom, shaitan is a master distractor in classrooms. Children get very easily distracted. A little noise and they shift. But you find the people who have tranquility in their hearts, the one who have the sukoon, you find nothing bothers them. They already in peripheral vision know something is happening. But it's not bothering them unless it's a real jolt where they need to move. They say, okay, we'll move. But otherwise, petty things don't distract them. So patience, brothers and sisters, is a very important quality to have, but it requires vision. That vision, at the fundamental level, requires for you and I to know who we are. As my brother Abbas beautifully explained, Arafat, Allah wants me to constantly have my recognition of who I am. The famous hadith of the Prophet, Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabba, is so important that when I heard this statement from the Prophet, I really became excited. Because in the verse, my prophet is saying to me, go and study yourself. Go become a scientist. Become a sociologist. Become a psychologist. Become a philosopher. It's the only way you will know yourself. And I said, if the only way I know my Lord is through myself, then my Lord has opened a universe for me to examine. Allah says in Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. We created the seven heavens layer upon layer. You don't see any cracks in it. Look, do you see it? Allah is challenging me. He says, go and examine. He's not limiting my exposure. He's exposing me to the universe and says, go. I love this religion for that reason. When I studied Christianity, I found out Christianity is restrictive. It doesn't let me take the step. It enforces me to remain within my cocoon. It doesn't want me to question. And I realize that there's a dead fish under the carpet they're hiding. Then why is it you don't want me to go forward? Is it because you have lied to me and you don't want me to expose the lie? I examined all the religions and there was no religion in the world but Deen al-Islam. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. And in particular, the ones who follow the ways of Ahlul Bayt. Because they are the ones who have been the progenitors to tell us, go and study. That Imam Ali alayhi wasalam says, Saluni, saluni, qabla an tafqiduni. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. So it's very essential, brothers and sisters, that we practice this quality of patience. Patience is not an easy task to have. Through patience, our temper is controlled. Hajj is designed to challenge our patience. You will see these crowds. You will see waves moving. You will see things are against you. You will see fumes and smells. Why in the state of ihram are we not allowed to hold our nose from bad smell? Or to take a deep whiff when something is smelling good? It's because Allah says, these are distractions for you. It's a means by which to recognize yourself. I know many people that say to me, you know, killing an insect on my body, I never thought about it. I said, that's precisely the game. And not only is Allah going to send me to Mecca, it's not a resort. It's a desert. There's nothing beautiful here. They're trying to make it beautiful. But trust me, you cannot have it. Okay? They're trying, but it's not going to work. The Kaaba is a cube. There is no aesthetic beauty to it. It's been designed that way. You think if Allah wanted to make aesthetic beauty, it would deny Him? He created the whole universe with beauty. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Everything Allah creates is beautiful. But Allah says the intent is not that. You want to go to Bermuda, you want to go to the Hawaii Islands, I made that too. Go and look at it. But not here. Here you're going to reflect and go to your own self and learn what a beast you and I are. And say, I see this beast in me, that a little turbulence makes me agitated and I lose my temper, even during tawaf. Yesterday a brother was trying to go to Hajar al-Aswad, which is something many of us don't have to do. You don't have to go to Hajar al-Aswad to do something that we call mustahab in the way of haram by elbowing and beating people up. It's not in Islam. What's beautiful about us as believers is that we're trying to figure out, why do I go around seven times? Why do I throw the pebble seven times? Why? Good. That's the individual humanity that we have in us, is the inquisitive nature for you and I to ask, why am I doing this? I need a reason. And that's good. Allah says that's precisely what you should be asking. But my brothers and sisters, once you have found the reason, don't make it into a ritual. You know, my 92, I came for Hajj, was my first experience. And I know some people who came from my community, and I know the way they live. They don't wear hijab, for example. And I'm just using an example among the sisters, it's both sides, men and women problems. When we reached Medina, we were exhausted, but these women decided they were going to go to Baqi and read all the du'as in the Saifa, in Mafatihul Jinan. I said, MashaAllah, more power to you, read it. And they read it, till the next morning. I said, MashaAllah, beautiful. He said, yeah, we have the spirit of the Imam. I said, InshaAllah, we'll see. We came here, MashaAllah, everything was spiritual. We reach Jeddah after our Hajj, 45 minutes drive. I see them in the hotel. Sister comes and says, "Assalamu alaikum." I said, "Who are you?" The hijab was here. I said, "Wow, we've only gone 45 minutes away and the hijab is reached here." I said, "We get on the plane, it's down here." MashaAllah. What did you do? You left Allah in the Kaaba. See, we didn't get the meaning. The meaning is not that. It's not for us to come here and act religious because Allah is here. Allah is ubiquitous. Allah is everywhere. There is no place where Allah is not. Hazrat Luqman says to his son, "Ya bunayya, innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi ya'ti biha Allah. Inna Allah latifun khabir." Allah sees everything. Who are you fooling? We need to, when we came here and we felt spiritual, it was positive. When our sisters and brothers felt spiritual, it was positive. That's a positive note. It shows that our fitrah in our souls is to come closer to Allah. But shaitan fools us into thinking that now we're going back to the West and we need to dismantle this so-called structure that we built in our temporary scale to come and please and do our duties. Then we have dismantled the purpose of the whys and the becauses. It's useless. If an unbeliever was to look at us and says, "What did you guys do?" "Oh, we went there, we did it, we pleased God, we came out, and now we're pleasing shaitan." That's not how it works. Why do we dismantle? Because we don't have patience. Where does patience come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says beautifully, "لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ." See, we have to take the Prophet in our soul, in our hearts, not by name. When we hear the name of the Prophet, mashallah, salawat, salawat, salawat. Okay, that's great. Dhikr of Allah is important. And the dhikr of the Prophet, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَ, it's the command of Allah, it's good. But Allah did not do it for the sake of rituals. It's to be practiced. When we get on that plane, the Prophet is with me. Allah is with me. That same plane which you and I may embark upon, we might think, "Okay, I'm free now." When the plane starts going through a little turbulence, again, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah." Allah says, "وَإِذَا غَشِّهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعْوُ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ." Suddenly when something goes wrong, you remember me? Allah says, "I love the one who remembers me always." لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. What's the condition? The Prophet is your best example. What's condition? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ. See, the ones who want to return to their Lord. How do you return? You need to know where you came from. So now we need to ask, who am I? See, this is man arafa nafsa. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? These are essential discussions we need to have. Some of our brothers, mashallah, and sisters, have gone deeper into this questioning. And it's important. The skeptic, the atheist, will keep throwing doubt at you. How do you know? You haven't seen him. How do you know? And Allah is checking you. See, this messenger in me, the nafs, has been built already to know. I tell you, I have spoken to a lot of atheists in my life. And I have yet to find one who doesn't know. Yet to find one. The minute he sees me uncovering him, he hits my hand and says, "Don't uncover me." I said, "Well, I thought you were very open-minded. Let's uncover you. Come on." "No, no, no, don't do that." Because I know his fitrah is telling him exactly what's telling me. He knows it, I know it. We need to know it. That we came from Allah. Nothing comes from nothing with nothing by nothing. It's absurd. And the order in this universe is mind-boggling. Allah is there. We need to know that. We need to feel certain. And shaitan will play havoc in our minds there. And especially at what stage? When there is a problem in life. We'll say, "What kind of a God is this? Somebody is dying. Why doesn't God intervene?" We ask that question. Or a lot of times when somebody we love dies, we say, "What kind of a merciful God is he? He took away my beloved." Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. We're going to test you. We're going to see, do you really believe in us or don't you? Do you believe in me or don't you? I will take something away from you. But you see the logic? A person, atheist, asks me, he says, "How come God takes away a child from a parent? How come?" He's asking in a very derogatory manner. I say, the difference between your questioning and mine is that you haven't put God into perspective. I have. He says, "Give me an example." I said, "If I gave you $100 in your hand, whose does it belong to? You or me?" He said, "You." I said, "If I come and grab it and take it away from you, have I done anything wrong?" He says, no. I says, how dare you ask such a question? If it was yours, then you're correct to ask the question, why does God take away the child? The child didn't belong to the parent to begin with. The owner is taking it back. Do you have a problem with that? He was stunned by it. I said, you have to prove to me that that child is yours. Did you produce it from nothing, with nothing, by nothing? I dare you. Or do you, or are you just a component of a biological system which you have hung on using evolution as your hiding garb, as I say? Have you? He's stunned. I said, when my Lord takes it, it is because I know it is from Him. It is His property. Now, when a believer understands this, when his child is lost, he's made dua, oh Allah, help this baby of mine. But Allah says, no, I will take it. You and I cannot say, why didn't you take me, Allah? You should not have taken that one. You should have taken me. Allah says, alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin? Is Allah not the wisest of the wise? He said, bila shak. Allah says, then how come you're asking me this question? How come you're giving me alternatives? How can you give me alternatives if I chose to take your child away? I chose to give it to you and you didn't deserve it. And I chose to take it and you didn't deserve it. Who are you to question? That individual, when he understands it, becomes a patient being. The baby goes, he says, Alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When the baby comes, he says, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli ni'matin. Oh Allah, thank you. When he's taken, oh Allah, thank you. Do you see the difference? One quick example like this makes a person realize that when you have a vision of who I am, why I'm here, why things came and why things are going, we become very stable, very balanced. And once we're balanced, Allah says, that's my believer. I'm testing him and I'm going to put him to a tough trial, but he or she doesn't move. All they do is dhikrullah. So, what is the answer in the Quran? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That means that they want, they are looking at the Day of Judgment. You see, every story I have heard of our Imams and our Prophets, when they are being punished by the oppressors, they are looking at Qiyamah. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, as a Khalifa of the time, he went, goes into a woman's house to help her, and he is standing by the fire. He says, how close you are, O fire, that if I do not discharge my duty, you will engulf me. When his brother comes to him in the Baytul Mal and says, give me a little extra, Imam takes a hot rod and says, touch it. What is the Imam doing? He's not thinking for the hour. He's not thinking for the now. He's thinking for Yawmul Qiyamah. If you and I, brothers and sisters, the solution to our problems in society is if we could only think of Yawmul Qiyamah, every signature we put on a contract with the conception and understanding of Yawmul Qiyamah, I guarantee you, not a single human being's haqq will be taken away. Salawat ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad. I'm okay, thank you. Inshallah, inshallah. That's very important for us to understand. So, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And they remember Allah a lot. Why? Because ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا is a protection, as my blessed brother mentioned. He says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Why? It keeps me away from wrongdoing and evil. People ask, why salah? If an individual is engulfed in the remembrance of Allah, you'll find this individual will not be spontaneous. If they are spontaneous, it appears spontaneous, but they are not. They've already gauged you 10 minutes before you said something. That's not spontaneity. To the individual receiving it, it seems spontaneous, but to the believer, it's not spontaneous. It was already planned. There's a difference. So you and I need to practice that level. When Allah says that they do dhikr a lot, they remember me. This all comes under trial. We cannot reach this stage. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا without some help from Allah. One great help of Allah is Ramadan, fasting. Fasting helps me to protect myself. Right? Fasting. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. The Quran, my fasting, all training mechanisms to take me closer to Allah. Hajj is that other example. At this level here, Allah pushes me in the corner, puts fear into me, makes me to look at myself, and I suddenly see myself agitated easily. And how many a times I have seen even myself on the verge of blowing up. Petty things. Food is not right. House is not right. Bus is late. Seat is not good. I want that seat. I remember when I went for Arafat that year, You know the tents, it was scorching hot. And they didn't have these fancy tents you have now. They used to make the tents. They were full of sand. And the people in sun, nafsa nafs, I tell you, we are all for ourselves. Then when we reached there, anyone who came late got the center of the tent, the hottest zone. The first ones got the edges. And by the time you got in, within a few minutes, all the edges were taken. I remember Qiyamah. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَخْشَوْا يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِي. You find, subhanAllah, we are just here to worship Allah. No one has stopped to consider. Maybe there's an old man who may be choking in that middle. Now, I need this one. It's for me. Allah says, no problem. Try it. It's not easy, you know. Because in the back of my head, shaitan is playing games with me. He says, but if you keep giving it to everybody, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be stuck on the road. He said, yeah, that's true. I need to fight. I need to elbow. Shaitan got you. Did you not have faith in Allah? You think Allah will not open doors for you? You are wrong. You are wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches you and I. You know, there's a beautiful story by Rajb Ali Khayyat. You've heard it, the Elixir of Love. Well, once he's with his companions waiting for a bus to come. And nobody gave him space. The bus would come, it would fill up, they would go. They were waiting patiently. And the companions were waiting to see what Rajb Ali Khayyat says. He was a very passionate lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another bus comes, they get on, they're still standing. The companions, they don't dare to say anything to Rajb Ali Khayyat because he's a wise man. You don't mess with him. He'll give you an answer. He's quiet. Third bus comes, same thing. Now you're starting to get impatient. How long are we going to wait here? It's going to take forever. We'll never get home. My feet are killing me. But the lover of Allah is in communication with Allah. He said, let this cloud pass. You will make it easy for me. A bus comes. Everybody gets on. The engine dies. The guy is starting to charge. Turning the engine is not turning on. He says, sorry. Bus is dead. Get out. Everybody gets out. Rajb Ali Khayyat says, let's get on. They said, the bus is dead. He said, let's get on. He gets on, sits down, says to the bus driver, start it. The engine starts, subhanAllah, and they leave. The bus driver charged everybody a fee. He said, this man, no fee. He must have done some dua. He says to the companions, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everybody. But you need to cross the line of patience. And some mysterious things happen, which you never wondered could happen. But at that split moment, no one sees it. Allah is testing you. Well, do you believe in me? Or do you believe in yourself, in your own security? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I will conclude, inshallah, with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, when Ibrahim alayhi salam, this whole event of Hajj is the reenactment of how we should exercise patience. As I mentioned the last time, when we're going around the Kaaba, doing our tawaf, we should exercise patience. People will step on you, toenails will hit you, you will feel the pinch and the pain. Bite your tongue. Don't blurt. Don't blow up. Wrong. It's absolutely wrong. You've lost it. Because remember, Allah is testing me. He's saying, let's see how much patience you have. If we don't have the patience, after we blow up, if you and I don't realize that was a big mistake, we've got a problem. After we get angry, then we calm down. It's a moment of reflection. But Allah allows that for us. He's Ghafoor Rahim. But minimize that, brothers and sisters, because others are watching. Trust me, people will gauge you based on your tolerance level. I have seen people in the front lines in the world who are debating. On the debating scene, one of the most difficult aspects of debating is not what you say. It's how you control your temper. There's a beautiful story of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi wasalam, who used to debate many atheists. And the atheists used to come to the companions of the Imam and also question them. And the companions will blow their tops. They said, we admire your master. We have probed him in every possible way, but he has never lost his temper against us. See, an atheist making an observation. He says, the winning point was this man is so firm in his vision that he doesn't lose his temper. That requires long-term vision. If I'm thinking of Qiyamah, if I'm thinking of death, and you come and scream at me, or I come and scream at you, let's flip it the other way. I am the crazy guy agitating you, and you are thinking of Qiyamah, you're in Dhikrullah at that moment, you're doing Tasbih, you're in Dhikrullah, somebody pushes you, will it bother you? No, but if you're material and you're looking at the beauty of this world and you're passionately going for it, it will snap you instantly. But if you're doing dhikr of Allah, you'll notice it will not agitate you. Somehow there is an inner tranquility in your soul that somebody pushes you, you don't feel bad because you understand the dimensions of existence. It's different. Okay? So what happens here? Look at the ayah of the Quran. Hazrat Ibrahim, Surah Saffat, verse number 102. He says, Hazrat Ibrahim is saying to his son, Ya Bunayya, Inni ara fil manam, I have seen in my dream that I need to sacrifice you. Here's a prophet talking to a prophet and telling him, God has commanded me to kill you. How does Ismail reply him? Why does Allah make us repeat this whole thing? Because Allah loved Ibrahim, Ismail and Hajra so much, He said, this will be your criterion of the exam. This is a very difficult exam. A father who's just received his son and loves him dearly, God is saying, kill him. He says, Qala, Ya Abati, If'al, do it. SubhanAllah. How does a son have the capacity to say to his father, do it? It's because he's already visionary. He understands the dimension. A young son, what a blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts. He says, If'al, satajiduni insha'Allah minas sabirin. Insha'Allah, God will place me among the patient ones. You see, the answer lies there. Trial comes, difficulty comes, the threat comes from God. And the believer says, do it. Perchance God will put me among the patient ones. So the key is satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, I love them so much that the whole enactment is based on this system. Okay? I conclude on that. May Allah give us the strength to have that long-term vision. That while all the explanations are given, why the seven times, why the stone, why the this, why the that, let's take all of this with us back home. This is a temporary display. If we can keep this in our souls there, in New York, in London, in Canada, wherever we come from, and it can continue to grow in us, then the Hajj has been very fruitful for us. It's become a different dimension for us. And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that tawfiq by which to reach that stage to say, I am a sabir, I am one who's got patience. And while that pain comes, like Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam in Karbala, while his children are going, he loves them. He loves them dearly. But he's doing it fi sabilillah. And as everyone goes, he looks up to Allah. He says, Allah, accept this as my token of appreciation for your kindness and mercy. Are we capable of that? That's the key, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we'll discuss more. I apologize if I took a little extra time. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless us all and give us the strength and tranquility, inshallah, to reach that stage that no matter what the turbulence comes, we are patient. And one final thing, let us expect the worst in life. Then whatever comes will be a pleasant point for us to reflect upon. That state is superior to us expecting everything to be very high level. Then we will always be disappointed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وآخر الدعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. No, 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 no,